Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the September 28 edition of Commodity Week. The National Agricultural Statistics Service took time to survey farmers in about 8,900 storage facilities around the nation to see who and how much corn was left over from last year. A lot less than anyone thought, apparently. We'll discuss why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Roy Huckabee at the Lynn Group in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today include Dale Durkles of AgriVisor LLC out of Bloomington, Illinois, Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org, on your smartphone at m.willag.org, or if you're just looking for daily analysis in either the opening or closing numbers, Central Time at 10:15 and 3:15, dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. When things finally settle out, do you think, Dale Durkles, that we'll learn the 988 million bushel grain stocks for corn came in because old crop was consumed rather than the new crop everyone thought was being used, or something else?
Probably something else, and I think the number really leaves a lot of confusion. I looked at the combination of wheat feeding, corn feeding, and DDG feeding in the summer quarter there, and it looked to me just on a quick glance that it was about 20% above last year and actually above what we were 2 years ago. So you're really left with this uncertainty about, you know, that number there compared to last month's or the last couple of years. And so I think everybody, when they push the pencil, is going to sit there and go, what really do we have here?
Chip Nellinger?
I think also other. I don't know that we'll ever fully get the number, but I think probably last year's corn crop was overstated, and I think the cash basis levels of this past summer kind of tipped their hand towards that. So I don't know if they'll ever come back and adjust that. Typically they don't, but I think it was just flat out. We didn't raise as big a corn crop last year as what they said. Demand was good, but I think it was more just an adjustment to the fact that crop was probably overstated last year.
And Pete Manhart.
I would have to agree with that last one, that from the basis things, nobody could find corn because it wasn't there, meaning that we didn't have as much as we thought we did before. So I think that's a lot of it. The feeding thing, yeah, I don't know how we can feed all that when we supposedly have smaller numbers of livestock.
At the end of the day, Friday, Pete, we were locked up limit on a couple of the contracts in the corn. Will they open how high on Sunday evening?
Oh, I think they'll open a little higher, but I think 5 to 10 higher might be it until we really do get through pushing the pencil to see what people think about this jolt on Friday. I think that though we have seen the lows and now we're going to decide where we're going and how quickly. We dropped $1.40 off the highs. We dropped over $1 in the last couple of weeks, so if it wasn't a negative report, we were going to bounce anyway. Harvest pressure is pretty well off, and where are you going to find more corn right now? So I think we're going to be up, but I don't know that it's going to be more than 10 to start with.
Harvest low end?
I believe so, yeah. I think that this report was well anticipated, and lows are in.
You know, we were timed really well for the corn to put in a 40-week cycle low. We were right in the middle of that window. We did it. The beans were in a window for a 16 to 18-week low. So I think at this point you have to say that, you know, the lows for both of those are in, and I think we're going to now start moving higher to some degree.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago we talked about the marketing year high maybe being in already as well. There were some of a mind that that was the case. Do you think that one's the case?
For corn?
Yes.
I think you still have to go with that conclusion because of the depth of the break we've had and some of the damage you did onto the nearby chart.
I think it depends on beans. I've thought all along that the bean market really held the key to corn. I thought it would be on the upside. Now it might be the case where beans maybe hold us back a little bit in the case of corn. So it's possible the highs are in. I think I give it 50-50 that we put new highs in corn, but I think a lot of it depends on beans.
I think a lot of it depends on the next report that USD comes out with yield per acre. We still got terrible yields in places and great yields 5 miles down the road. What is the yield really going to be? If they would shock us by lowering it very much, I think the highs aren't in. If they would leave it about where it's at or actually raise the corn yield a hair, I think we've seen the highs.
You do a lot of number crunching. You think that the yield will change by USDA on the 11th day of October?
I don't think it's going too markedly because they've gone through two reports right now where they should have a pretty good idea where they are on ear weights. And if anything, ear weights could still creep up a little bit versus the ear number count shouldn't change from this point forward greatly.
Producers will be harvesting in large part across the Midwest in the coming week. Should they sell that grain across the scale?
At this point, I'd have to say with the depth of the break and now the prospect that we're going to work higher, I think for the next 4 to 6 weeks at least, maybe 8 weeks, no, I wouldn't sell anything across the scale today.
That's a tough question. It's such an individual case-by-case situation with how much they had sold prior. I would say with the report we saw, with the lows most likely being in, that I'd give it at least into the November, December, January time frame. We should have better basis, much stronger basis by then, and I think we'll have a run at those old contract highs in corn, if not a new high by then.
I wouldn't be selling anything unless you were worried about aflatoxin. If you were worried about that, I'd sell it or put it through the elevator to store it. Otherwise, I would wait for 2 to 3 weeks at least to see if how far we can go and can we get very far.
What did you think of the wheat number when you saw it this morning?
Shocked.
Why?
Because it was as low as it was and because of the implication it had on the wheat feed consumption number. And I was even an optimist on wheat feed consumption because, as I've said for a long time, typically when we feed a lot of wheat in this country, we feed it in the southern plains. And back in early summer, those people had an opportunity to book wheat in for feed. And once they do put animals on feed, they tend to hold those pens on feed all the way to the end. So the wheat feeding number, I thought was going to be big, but it was the biggest we've had since back in 1998, 1999 for the summer quarter.
All wheat stored in all positions at 2.1 billion bushels. Were you shocked too?
At first glance, I thought it was fairly neutral. But like Dale said, I think once you dug into that and saw the demand side of that, in conjunction with some of the problems we're seeing in Australia and the fact that Russia's, you know, likely out of exportable wheat there, I think it paints a pretty fairly bullish scenario for wheat going forward the next few months.
Is it bullish enough that wheat can lead the marketplace?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think even before this report, wheat held up much better than corn and beans. So I think it could for the next couple months.
Yeah, I think on the old crop wheat, it could be a leader. I think on new crop, once we go very far, we need to be getting rid of it for the new crop.
Wheat's still got a problem when we go in the world. It's priced at a premium to everyone else, as evidenced by Egypt's last purchase this last week. Romanian wheat, EU wheat, no U.S. wheat.
So it's only a U.S. play in your mind?
Yeah, if it is.
If it is?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a wild bull in the wheat market. I don't see it having great legs. Okay. I think it's going to go up some, but I don't see a big push.
Soy complex,
beans in the USDA report at 169 million in the grain stocks. That would be ending stocks now, what's left in the bin. And that was 39 million bushels, larger than anyone really had expected, Pete. That number was kind of a shocker this morning, I would
think. Yeah, where'd they find those bushels? I don't know. It wasn't lowered as much as expected due to those finding of 39 million more bushels. I think beans will be the leader down the road. I don't know if they'll be that until after the next government report, but I think they have more up potential than anything.
One of the things they had to do was kind of go back and reconcile and change what was harvested last year in order to put those bushels in the bin.
Yeah, I was a little shocked, as was the market, but if you really take a step back, it's still tighter than a year ago on beans. 163 million bushels, still extremely tight. I think some of the negativity has been surrounding some the optimism about some better-than-expected bean yields over the last couple of weeks. So big picture, once you get past the emotion of this market, bean stocks are still very, very tight.
That's true. I mean, you know, you take the 169 million to put it in another way. It's equivalent to about a half a bushel to the acre yield on a new crop. And that's the way I like to look at it. But still, when you step back from the fray and you look at the construction of the beans, even if our bean yield for the crop we're harvesting now goes up, which I think it probably will yet, you still got a tight fundamental structure or potentially tight fundamental structure in the bean complex between now and the next South American harvest, and the market's got to deal with that yet.
So that gives you until April or May?
I think really the window at this point is in the last quarter of this calendar year. We're going to do what we're going to do in this quarter, and beyond that, I think the game's over. In Brazil, they're already planting some beans, and some of the beans they're planting are very early or very short season and may come out in January.
So it would be much shorter than many would be expecting.
Yeah.
A half a bushel to the acre, if you bring that forward into this year's crop. How much bigger do you think the crop might be for this year? Is it a bushel better?
I think it's probably a bushel better, maybe even two. But if you go two, that's 75 million. You're still very tight supplied worldwide and we're the only place in town to buy it right now. So I think you got to get through this fall and then be ready to unload by that January harvest of South American crop.
You want to give me a trading range, you think, for soybeans?
For soybeans, I think the high is likely in. I think, 1550 on the downside, 17 and a quarter to the upside for the next 75, 90 days.
I think of the three grains, beans are still the one that's got the opportunity to go out to a new high, and I still wouldn't be shocked to see an 18 on it.
I'd be looking at that 1855 I told you about back month ago.
It's a pretty good number. I'm up in there with a target.
All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. So producers, let's see. I think I know where everybody is, but we better check. They're going to be harvesting. They going to put them in the bin and store them, or put them in the elevator and store them?
Yeah, I'd hang on to beans right now.
I think at this stage you do. I think it's a little risky to get too wildly bulled up, but basis and price should be better down the road.
If you need to sell and have to sell, buy $17, $18 calls and replace them. But I would be storing them, depending on what your storage costs are. What can you buy for 25 cents on a call? Yesterday you could have bought a lot, or 2 days ago, but now that price went up a lot.
Did we learn anything Friday afternoon in the quarterly hogs and pigs report that helped you justify whether or not corn and wheat were being fed at an exemplary rate over the summer months?
Breeding herd wasn't liquidated at all. It was, 99.9 or something like that, or at 100. I mean, we really didn't change that much. And even the intentions numbers for the fall-winter farrowings were not down generally quite as much as expected on average. You know, I think it was about 1.5%. So I don't know that the hog report has told us we have done enough job or done enough to do any rationing yet.
I would agree with that. I think it's still going to take a quarter or two to sift that out. Compared to what you hear in some of the sales numbers of sows, it didn't seem like it was very congruent. So I agree. I think it might take another quarter or two to sift that out and find out where we're at.
Yeah, and the bacon scare that came out this week and made headlines everywhere. It doesn't have anything to do with the U.S. It has to do with Europe and then people just quitting over there because of the no longer using crates.
What they call that, Bacon-geddon or something along those lines. Actually, you should the
Baconopolis and Hamageddon.
Yeah. You need to look up Colbert on YouTube if you haven't watched it just yet, because that is a good one. Do we really need to worry about anything like that? By the way,
what do you mean?
No, do we need to worry about the supply of meat in the coming months, given what you've seen?
Well, you know, and I don't remember the exact number in the last USDA S&D, but when you look at per capita supplies of red meat and poultry, what was projected out for 2013 was just under 199 pounds. In 2007, that was 220. Shocking change there in a very short period of time.
Of course, listening to Commodity Week, this is the September 28 edition. Our panelists in studio, you just heard Dale Dirkels, Pete Manhart, and Chip Nellinger are with us. In just a couple minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk with Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. It was another cool week across Illinois with temperatures over 3 degrees below normal. In fact, parts of the northwest corner of the state saw temperatures drop down below freezing. Mount Carroll reported a low of 26 on the morning of the 24th. The southern half of the state saw widespread rains on the order of 1 to 3 inches with some locally heavier amounts. Meanwhile, the northern half of the state was much drier with many areas getting less than 1/4 of an inch for the week. With September almost over, it looks like we will finish with temperatures about 1.5 degrees below normal. Rainfall was well above average for locations south of Interstate 80 thanks to the remains of Hurricane Isaac. The wettest spot in the state so far is Centralia with 15.85 inches. The forecast for this weekend is for mild temperatures and no rain. On Saturday, highs will be in the mid-70s across Illinois. Saturday night, lows will be in the upper 40s to around 50 across much of the state. Highs Sunday will be in the upper 60s to the low 70s, and lows Sunday night in the mid to upper 40s. It's more of the same through Thursday with highs in the mid to upper 70s and lows in the 50s. After Thursday, temperatures are expected to remain below normal into the following week. The next chance for significant rainfall isn't until next Friday or Saturday. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
This is the September 28 edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason, your host from University of Illinois Extension, in studio with us today. Pete Manhart, Chip Nellinger, and Dale Dirkels. On the phone line, Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group in Chicago, Illinois. Roy, how was the trade in Chicago? Were people genuinely surprised this morning by the USDA reports?
Well, typically with these stocks reports, I think more than surprised, they were just glad to get it out of the way. It had been an excuse to not trade, and a lot of users had stood back while the fund selling pressured the markets pretty hard. I think some long liquidation also pressured the trade over the last 3 weeks. We've broken beans, what, $2.50, $2.40, and we've broken corn a little over a dollar, and I think the markets were prepared for what they got today. I think it didn't take much of a surprise to create a rally back.
Roy, this is Dale. What's your whole take on this whole implied feed consumption game that came out of the numbers with both wheat and corn today?
Well, if you take the wheat numbers by themselves, it's obvious that it's huge hard wheat feeding. It's a record hard wheat feeding. There's also a big disappearance in soft white wheat, which you have to put into feeding. The soft red wheat consumption was pretty much mediocre. So I believe the number. in fact, in my S&Ds, I was using 265 for an annual wheat feeding, and I took it up to 450 based on this number. In my customer base, back in August, when we saw wheat, corn, hard wheat, Kansas City wheat trade down to within 80 cents of corn, we saw some cattle guys extend their coverage all the way through OND. And you mentioned DDG feeding a minute ago, and I think that it's important that you recognize that some of my cattle customers are finding the best conversions feeding 50% wheat and 50% wet DDGs that they've ever had. I don't know what you normally use in your stats, but I use about a 7.8 or an 8.0 conversion factor. These guys are converting at 6.1. It's just phenomenal. And I think that in the environment, especially the fear of aflatoxin corn, I think the guys are going to be very slow to come out of their wheat feeding. We have seen some that sold wheat back as wheat gained a dollar or something on corn. But I believe the wheat feeding number. The corn number is more difficult and, of course, full of consternation about how the USDA is doing this. You would have thought that they would have given us an explanation. But it looks to me like they just fought tooth and toenail not to put any new crop corn into last year. There was not a single word of explanation. It was just the tight stocks are tighter than everybody anticipated. But my measured disappearance on the quarterly tables that I keep showed a carryout of 890. And I figure there was at least a billion bushels of corn harvested prior to SEP 1, maybe a billion two. And you used 250 or 300 of that. So it would have been easy to get a stocks number that was a billion six to a billion seven if just everything flowed into the numbers. The problem with that is that you can't then add a 10-7 crop the next year and get a total supply. Somewhere there has to be a reckoning of the difference in the harvest times. And it's just gotten worse every year for the last 3 years.
Roy, so given that strong demand on the wheat side from the feed standpoint, tighter than expected stocks on corn, what do you see as a range going forward here for corn and wheat?
Well, I guess in my mind, the markets have wheat stuck in a range. And it'd be easy to get real bullish wheat, thinking it's going to come out of the top of the range. But I got to tell you that domestic feeding isn't going to use all your wheat crop. And I'm forced back to the export market, and I see hard wheat offered out of the U.S. at 390 and soft wheat at 362, and French wheat's offered at 350, and South America high-protein wheat's offered at 350. So we're going to have a real hard time doing any business into North Africa. We've got to cost us $12 or $15 more freight to get there, so that puts us at a $25 premium to French wheat still yet. And that's in our soft wheat business. We're not selling much soft wheat. I think that if you look at the stocks numbers and break it down by class, we've certainly tightened hard wheat stocks. We are doing some spring wheat business, and we're going to use up our spring wheat about like we normally do. But I think soft wheat stocks are growing, and I don't see us able to get rid of them. So get ready for wider carries in Chicago. But I think that in this environment, we may see Kansas City gain on Chicago a little bit, but I think that corn has wheat has limited room to gain on corn. And if you believe in this big, broad pennant formation that wheat's been in, I think you're stuck basically 860 to 920. Corn, for me, is a more of an item, and I think that the trade today in corn tells you that you've got a bottom in, but the problem is the rally and what the rally can do, and I think that you have issues at you get corn up over 7 well, we traded as high as 762 today. We settled at 756. But that it's enough of a rally that you're going to take a run at 780, 790 and see what happens. I don't know. It's hard for me to see corn back over $8. I think that this the stocks number that the USDA gave us makes the production number in October very important. My ideas about the corn crop is it's 100 either side of 10 billion.
Switching over to soybeans, we've had really great meal sales lately. What's your take on the beans and how far they can go back up?
Yeah. Beans are damaged goods. They've broken too deep. I think that if beans continue to rally, they're probably going to come up here towards 16.35, 16.45 and run into problems. It's very unlikely that beans are able to get above 16.90 on a rally back, just too much overhead. I believe that we are seeing a little bit better bean yields, and the bean crop tends to be growing. With the increased old crop production and the addition of a slightly increased new crop production, all of a sudden, I'm not having to ration beans very much. My consumption today is 2875 compared to the USDA at 2670. I think they got plenty of room to add some consumption back in October's report.
When you look at the corn market, you suggested you don't have to ration soybeans. Who's being rationed in the corn market?
Well, I don't think anybody today in today's environment can make money with $8 corn, and that's an issue.
But they're using
ethanol plants today are losing 70 to 75 cents a bushel. Even out into the deferreds, that stays at 35 cents a bushel loss. The difference is that the crush margins are 65, 70 cents profitable. So you're going to make a lot of domestic meal. You're going to make a lot of meal for the export market. I think that the world crushing margins are much better. The world's going to buy all of the South American and the Black Sea corn they can before they buy any out of the U.S. So we are rationing export business in corn. We're going to ration the ethanol industry. I think that we drop down to a 4-1 or a 4-2 grind and use up most of the RINs that are out there for the best, for the rest. It's very interesting to me that we're having a hard time deciding how we're going to use the old crop, but the typical trader in Chicago, I got to look forward. And I've got big acres for next year, and all of a sudden I'm building inventories next year. So I think the market to sell here is probably new crop, Nov beans and Dease corn.
Thank you so much, Roy. Roy Huckabee is with the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois. Now, a final word from our panelists in the studio, Del Dirkholz of AgriVisor.
You know, other than the coming October crop report, I think people need to start keeping a closer eye on the weekly livestock slaughter data and also the midweek broiler placement numbers.
Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef AgriMarketing.
I would just second what Roy said. The old crop here, what I'm calling the old crop, the crop we're harvesting right now, is more of a logistics and basis issue. Be putting a pencil to it, figuring out true cost of production for the 13 because we're at profitable levels and it needs to be watched closely over the next 90 days.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Now we're going to see a little bounce in the old crop, what we're harvesting now, but that new crop needs to be looked at carefully as far as starting things if you haven't already for on that new crop for 13.
That wraps up this September 28 edition of Commodity Week. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.